This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
It's the Bull in Cleveland with Adam the Bull on the BetRivers Network.
It's a Monday. We're in June. It'll officially be summer in a couple of weeks. The weather's warm throughout most of the country. It's a beautiful time. And this is the Bull in Cleveland with Adam the Bull, part of the BetRivers Network. We got a lot to get to. The Guardians salvaged the weekend. Did they salvage their season? What's in store for the Browns in these, what, 8 weeks before, 7 weeks before training camp starts? And the NBA Finals. No Cleveland angle on this, but it was an exciting game, so I want to get into that as well. That's all coming up on this edition of The Bull in Cleveland with Adam the Bull, part of Bet Rivers.
You're listening to The Bull in Cleveland on the Bet Rivers Network.
I'm going to start with the NBA Finals. So I got a lot to get to on the Guardians and the Browns, but I want to start with the NBA Finals last night. I'm sure there are a lot of people counting out Miami after the Nuggets dominated game one of the NBA Finals, but that would have been a mistake. Now, I still think in the end, Denver's going to win. I picked the Nuggets to win the series in six. To do that, they're going to need to win, they're going to need to win two road games. Yeah, they're going to need to win two road games. But obviously, Denver's capable. We saw Miami beat Denver last night with a great fourth quarter, outscoring them 36-25 to come back from a 1-point, a 12-point deficit and win by three. Bam Adebayo had a great game, 21 points and 9 rebounds. No triple-double for Jokic, who didn't have a lot of assists, which is very unusual for him. Still had a great game, as he normally does, 41 points, 11 rebounds, 4 assists. But he did turn over the ball 5 times, which is high for him. It was a weird game because the Nuggets shot, 52% for the field, 40% from three. They hit 19 of 22. Both teams just shot the ball extremely well. It wasn't a ton of defense being played, especially in the fourth quarter by Denver. I know their coach, Michael Malone, was kind of ticked, but there we are. We got a series, right? It's 1-1. This Miami Heat team, it's silly to just ever completely count them out. And game three will be Wednesday night in Miami. So the Heat have stolen the home court advantage. Ultimately, does it mean they're going to win the game? They win the series? Of course not. But for now, they've stolen it. The Nuggets remain a favorite in game three for Wednesday night. If you look at the Bet Rivers Sportsbook, the Nuggets are a 3-point favorite in Miami and still remain -275 to win the NBA title. Again, according to the Bet Rivers Sportsbook, but it's not as big odds as they once had. So there you go. The over-under 215 for Wednesday's game number three. Real quick, in the National Hockey League in the Stanley Cup Finals, Monzo and I both told you we liked the Panthers in this series, but it didn't go well for them in the first game on Saturday night. The Golden Knights busted open a 2-2 tie with 3 goals in the third period to win game one 5-2, and game two in that series is tonight. That game will be on TNT. At 8 o'clock. To Major League Baseball now, where the Cleveland Guardians salvaged the weekend by winning on Saturday and Sunday. The 4-game series, they started with the Twins. And, all year I've been saying pretty much the same thing about the Guardians. They right now they're a bad baseball team, but I still think they're going to win the division. I've consistently said that for 2 months, even though pretty much for 2 months, they haven't played like a team that's worthy of winning a division. However, we know in this Major League Baseball, both Central divisions, including the one the Guardians play in, the American League Central, which would have to be since there's only 2 of them, are bad. And there's no good teams. There's mediocre teams. And, there's bad teams. Kansas City's really bad. And then all the other Central teams are kind of mediocre. They're all below average to average. I can't even say slightly above average because I don't think, maybe the Brewers are above average between the two Centrals. Nobody in the American League Central is above average at this point. And the Guardians lost the first two games Thursday and Friday to Minnesota. And at that point, we're 5.5 games back of the Twins in first place. Not an impossible hill to climb. But had they continued that trend and lost Saturday and Sunday, they would have been 7.5 out and not playing the Twins again until August. With a pretty tough schedule coming up, keep in mind. Over the next couple of weeks, if you look at what the Guardians have, they got three with Boston. They got a homestand now. Three with Boston, three with Houston. It's a very tough homestand. And then they go to San Diego and Arizona. So the next 2 weeks, pretty tough stretch. Now it gets a little easier after that. And their schedule right before the All-Star break is pretty favorable. And their last 19 games before the All-Star break, you have three with Milwaukee, which is a tough series, and three with Atlanta, which is a tough series. But both of those series are at home. Their other 13 games of their final 19 are against Kansas City, the Cubs, and Oakland. So that's a chance. But then again, the Guardians haven't played great against bad teams either. And, you know, so we'll see. But two great wins after they lost. You know, you go back to Thursday, they lost that slugfest 7-6. That was a tough one. They had been down. They scored five runs in the sixth inning to take a 6-3 lead, and then they blow it late. That was a painful one. The Friday night game was 1-0. We were all my Little League team and I, my assistant coach Joe, had us all at his house, which was really cool. We watched the game on Apple TV outside in the backyard as a team. Unfortunately, it was not much to watch as the Twins scored a run in the seventh and beat the Guardians 1-0. And at that point, you're like, okay, they lost a high-scoring game. They lost a low-scoring game. But great job this weekend. Let's go to Saturday, first of all, after they had lost the first two games of this series. They get down early 1-0. They tie it up. They're down 2-1. So now you go into the seventh inning in this game. The Guardians have lost two in a row, in danger of falling 6.5 out. You're down 2-1 in the seventh inning. And Gabriel Arias opens the inning with a base hit. So a young guy coming through, getting his opportunity. And then speaking of young guys, taking advantage of an opportunity, Will Brennan, he's been on fire. He's finally gotten hot after kind of a nothing season. The last week he's gotten hot. He hits the big home run that puts the Guardians up top 3-2. They tack on in the ninth on, of all things, a Stephen Kwan home run. And then Emmanuel Clase, one of his best performances of the year on Saturday. Strikeout, ground out, quick and easy inning. And the Guardians beat the Twins 4-2. On Saturday night. And then yesterday, a game that was kind of like the Friday game. You had no offense going at all for a while. And you're like, well, is anybody going to score here? And then finally, let's start with the pitching before we get to the running or for the run scoring. Tristan McKenzie had missed the first 2 months of the season. He comes off the injured list to make the start against Minnesota. And he was absolutely electric. And he had to be great because Joe Ryan, until he got in trouble in the seventh inning, had been lights out as well. I mean, he was mowing through. Both pitchers were mowing through the other team's hitters. I cannot say enough about the performance of Tristan McKenzie. 10 strikeouts in 5 innings, that's 2 Ks per inning, for those who are not good at math. He threw just 79 pitches and had not been his first start back after 2 months on the injured list. Remember, he got hurt right at the end of spring training. He probably could have gone 7 innings. I mean, who knows? He might have struck out 15. But this way, I mean, he was dominant against a Twins lineup that's, you know, not fantastic, especially with some of the injuries they have, but it's not bad. It's not terrible. It's a decent lineup. And McKenzie was just phenomenal. I can't say enough. I did not expect him. I'm a big Tristan McKenzie guy. I like him a lot. I'm always worried about him getting hurt because of his body type because he's so thin. It makes you nervous. I wish I was as thin as Tristan McKenzie, I'll tell you that. I don't have to worry about my arm. But, man, he was, I mean, he was a thing of beauty to watch. The ball was moving all over the place. He had good velocity. He did not look like a guy coming off the injured list. Karinchak had a good performance. He's been a lot better overall of late. Stefan with a good inning. Then De Los Santos gives up the home run in the eighth to Willie Castro, who's actually done a nice job for the Twins as like a utility man. And then, whoa, the ninth inning, right? It's 2-1. For those who didn't get a chance to see it, I had gone out. Yesterday was my birthday. We went out for dinner. And so we went for an early dinner. So we head out. After the eighth inning, after Castro's homer, I'm like, okay, let's go. So I listen to the top of the ninth in the car. Guardians don't score. So we get to the restaurant in the bottom of the ninth. By the time I got into the restaurant, it was two out, nobody on. Clase had gotten the first two batters. And I'm like, okay, let me just watch this before we like sit down and start paying attention to dinner. He walks Ryan Jeffers. Then Kyle Farmer gets the base hit. And you're like, oh, man, this is not good. The Guardians could not afford a blown save. However, Willie Castro comes up. Remember, he hit the home run off De Los Santos in the seventh. That made it a 2-1 game. Not in the seventh. Start the eighth. Sorry. And just three nasty pitches that you look at and you're like, why did he swing at that? Well, that's because Clase was nasty. His ball was just dropping off a table to that last batter. He really locked it in for Castro on that last batter, and he did an absolutely amazing job. So, listen, he made you sweat it a little bit, but in the end, 19th save for Clase. It's wild. He's got a million saves. He hasn't been consistently lights out this year, but he's got a million saves, and he saved the day in the end. Again, another thing I hate about baseball, not another thing. There's not a lot of things I hate about baseball, but the win rule. Like, Tristan McKenzie should get the win. I don't care that it was a 0-0 game at the end of five innings. It's just a stupid rule that they need to fix in baseball, but they don't care enough about it. It's stupid. In the end, for the Guardians this weekend, they outside of Thursday, and I want to go back to Thursday for a minute because the starting pitching, you know, I'm thinking about Bieber's last start was really the last time, and it wasn't Thursday, it was Wednesday, really the last time they didn't pitch well. You know, the Thursday game was a 7-6 game, but that was, a lot of that was on the bullpen. Tanner Bibee pitched okay. I mean, he allowed three runs in five innings. It wasn't great. But he gave up those last two runs in the fifth inning. But overall, the starting pitching was really good this weekend. Obviously, they, you know, I mentioned they lost 1-0 on Friday, but Aaron Civale, you know, I'm giving all this credit to McKenzie, and he was much more dominant than Civale. McKenzie only gave one hit and one walk in five innings, but credit to Aaron Civale as well. He went five shutout innings also against the Twins in a game where their starting pitcher, Bailey Ober, was also pitching a shutout. So there's a lot of high-leverage moments for Civale in this one, and he did a good job. He allowed six base runners. You know, again, he's not the dominant pitcher that McKenzie is. He had four strikeouts as opposed to 10, but he got the job done. Got a little trouble here and there, but he got out of it. And 10 scoreless innings with eight base runners allowed and 14 Ks between Civale and McKenzie coming off the injured list. It's pretty impressive, and gives you a little more confidence in the rotation. Now, we got to get Shane Bieber right. Logan Allen also this weekend pitched well, gave two runs in six innings in the Guardians Saturday win. You got to get, I was about to say Corey Kluber, who's a mess with Boston. You got to get Shane Bieber right. And that is a little concern. I mean, he was terrible in his last start. He'll go against the Red Sox tomorrow in Cleveland. But to see Shane Bieber with an ERA approaching four, it's not pretty. I mean, he's had some really bad starts. And it's really concerning. I mean, his last four starts, I pitched well against the Mets, but overall, last four starts, 23 and a third innings. He's given up 32 hits, 8 walks, and only 14 strikeouts. He's given up 4 home runs and 16 earned runs, 17 total runs. This is not, he is not, you know, we had Chris Rose on the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show the other day, and he talked about, you know, Shane Bieber still being an ace. I don't know. I don't know that Shane Bieber's still an ace. He hasn't pitched like it this year. Now, he's still young enough that you hope he can get back to that. And it'll be interesting to see ultimately what the Guardians decide to do, whether they trade him. I wonder what his trade value is right now. Because he just doesn't look good. He's given up more hits than any pitcher in baseball. That's not ace. I mean, 76 hits, that's a lot. It's really concerning. If you look at some of his advanced statistics, like fielding independent pitching, which is usually a better indicator for how, what a guy's ERA should be, then it should be really higher than it even is now. He's by far having his worst season. Maybe since his rookie year in 18, but I mean, his whip is 1.3. That's way worse. That's what it was as a rookie. His strikeout rate, worst of his career. Strikeout to walk ratio, by far the worst of his career. Walk rate, second worst of his career. Home runs per nine, second worst of his career. Hits allowed per nine, second worst of his career. Across the board. I mean, he's not the same guy right now. Last year, he had 198 strikeouts in 200 innings, which was the lowest strikeout rate of his career. And that's about a strikeout per inning. Obviously, two less strikeouts than innings. This year, he's got 53 Ks in 75 innings. That is plummeting. He is not an ace right now. I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying he couldn't get back to it at some point this year. Right now, he's not an ace. He's not pitching anywhere close to that. So the rest of the rotation seems to be, you know, like right now, obviously you love what you saw from McKenzie. It's one start. You don't want to get carried away, but you love what you saw from him. Allen and Bibee have been really, really good. Not, you know, there's been a little ups and downs, but for the most part, they've been really good. Savali had a nice bounce back start there. You know, Quantrill's hurt right now. And another big story over the weekend, in case you missed it, the Guardians designated Zach Plesac for assignment. Basically, they're done with him. For those who don't understand what that means, it basically allows the team to take a player off their 40-man roster. They're still part of the organization for roughly a week, maybe 10 days. I can't remember exactly how long it is. And now they have this time with him off the roster to trade him, although I can't imagine anybody would give up anything for him. Maybe like cash consideration, something like that, something minimal. Or release him. If nobody's interested, he could potentially remain in the minors, not on the 40-man roster. It's possible. I think that's not likely the case. I think probably Plesac's going to end up somewhere else, whether he gets traded for a minimal return or cut, whatever it may be. But I think we'll hear at some point this week that he is officially no longer with the organization, which makes a lot of sense. It's time to move on. I mean, he's not any good. But the bigger concern right now is Shane Bieber. Now, I just celebrated his 28th birthday last week. The guy is not, it's not like he's 33, but he's not the same pitcher. He's not throwing as hard. It's obvious every time you see him out there, even the games he's pitched well. And there have been a number of those. He pitched a solid game, a decent game against the Cardinals. his last time out before getting spanked by Baltimore, and he pitched very well against the Mets. Had a really good start against the Tigers earlier in May. You know, he's had a number of good starts, but he hasn't been dominant really all season. We just haven't seen it. He's had only two games with more than four strikeouts. And those came against Oakland and Detroit, two of the worst hitting teams. Oh, I mean, Oakland's got the worst lineup in baseball, except for maybe the Guardians. But Oakland's is worse. So, yeah, I mean, I think at this point you got to have some concern over Shane Bieber, whether it's him turning it around for the Guardians to make a playoff run or his value and what you're going to get in return in a potential trade. I'm sure there are a lot of teams monitoring Shane Bieber because the Guardians are a team that even if they're in it, which they are, I mean, they you wake up this Monday morning and they're only 3.5 games out of a playoff spot out of first place in the division, which is where they started this four-game series. But they are in it. But they've been, you know, the Guardians in the past have been in it and still made a trade where they buy and sell in the same trade or buy and sell in two different trades. They did it with Bauer. They did it with Clevenger. And they may do it again with Bieber. The question is, if they do that, what's the return? Because in this offseason, had they done it this past offseason, they would have gotten a lot more than they're getting now because the guy's just not pitching well. He's not. He's been, you know, okay. But going into the season, you thought you're trading for Bieber, you're getting an ace, a lights out ace. And right now that's not what you're getting. Again, he's young enough where maybe this is a blip on the radar, and maybe the last 4 months, if he were the best pitcher in baseball the last 4 months, it wouldn't stun me. He's shown that greatness before, but there's no sign of it right now. None at all. So that's certainly concerning. But overall, great to bounce back on Saturday and Sunday after losing the first two of this series. Talked about it before. You got a really tough schedule coming up the next 2 weeks. So we'll see if the Guardians can, you know, hang in there with these tough series coming up. Pitching matchup as they come home. I'm actually taking my Little League team to the game on Friday. We're taking the whole team on Friday against the Astros. Looking forward to that. But all night games this week, obviously except for Sunday, no weekday day games off today. You got Bieber and James Paxton tomorrow. Wednesday's game, Tanner Bibee, Red Sox pitcher is to be determined right now. And then Thursday, Savali gets a second start against Garrett Whitlock. So Bieber will pitch twice at home this week against two tough opponents in Boston and Houston. So and then he'll have to face Arizona on the road next week. So I'll be curious to see how he does in these next three starts against some pretty good offensive clubs. And I'll be very curious to see how Tristan McKenzie fares against Houston in his second start. He'll pitch Saturday in Houston. My team and I should get a good game Friday night. Logan Allen and Christian Javier. Javier's been really good, a really good pitcher for Houston. All right, one other thing I wanted to hit on before the end of the podcast today, and that's, you know, there's a lot of buzz over the weekend for DeAndre Hopkins to the Browns. The more I think about it, the more sense it makes. I've had a few of my friends from out of the area say, well, why do the Browns need DeAndre Hopkins? They've upgraded their wide receiving core. And I said, you can't look at it that way. It's not good enough to be pretty good. The AFC right now is an arms race. And at the top of that race is Kansas City. And then right below them are Cincinnati and then Buffalo. And then right below them are the Browns, the Jaguars, the Dolphins, the Jets, the Chargers, maybe the Patriots, maybe the Ravens, maybe the Steelers. I don't know. There's a lot of talent in the AFC. And to keep up with what those top teams are doing, you can't just say, well, we're good enough. It's not about that. You can get away with that in the NFC. You can't in the AFC. You know, I went crazy last week about, let's go get Aaron Donald and let's go get DeAndre Hopkins. And I know they're not going to get every single guy out there. My point is that the Browns decided when they traded for Deshaun Watson that they were all in. They pushed all their chips to the middle of the table, and they said, we're playing to win now. We're not messing around anymore. So you can't go halfway. And I don't think they have for the most part. They had a very strong offseason on paper. Means nothing till we see it on the field. But as far as what the Browns did this offseason on paper, I think they did a great job. But this, if they signed DeAndre Hopkins to add to their wide receiver mix, I think it puts it over the top as a fantastic on-paper offseason. They need to remain aggressive. Now, ultimately, if he doesn't want to come here, there's nothing you could do. You can't force him to come here, and we don't know what he wants, and we won't know for sure. But I'll tell you this. When the Browns get ready to take the field in 3 months against the Bengals here in Cleveland, they're a lot more formidable with DeAndre Hopkins than they are without him. To me, it's that simple. And so if I'm the Browns, I'm doing whatever it takes to keep getting better. DeAndre Hopkins has the chemistry with Deshaun Watson. DeAndre Hopkins, in my opinion, is better than any receiver on the Browns. Certainly, at the very least, he's better than anybody besides Amari Cooper. The Browns have improved, but you can't stop when you're not near that. They didn't make the playoffs last year. The Browns have proven nothing. They don't belong in the conversation right now with Buffalo and Cincinnati and certainly Kansas City. Frankly, there's other teams in the AFC they don't belong in there yet with, but they can be. And why not give yourself as good a chance as any? It's a short-term deal. The Browns should go get it done. We've talked about this. I'm going to keep talking about it until it happens or until somebody signs them. All right, that's going to do it for me for today. Thanks, as always, to Brian Monzo for producing. Thanks to all of you for listening. I'll be on the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And I'll be back with podcasts this week on Wednesday and Friday. Check out my bet previews through Bet Rivers as well. We've been doing those videos every week. We'll have some more later in the week for you as well. That's going to do it for me for now. Thanks for listening to The Bull in Cleveland with Adam the Bull, part of Bet Rivers. See you, everybody.
Thanks for listening to The Bull in Cleveland on the Bet Rivers Network.